Happy Friday. Podcast time once again with Lou and Al for breakfast here at the Borders 105.7 Triple M. And Lou, can I be the first to congratulate you? First successful week back for 2023.
Oh, thanks, and same to you.
Thank you.
Yes, it's nice to be back. But that first week back after holidays, it can be a little bit of a struggle just getting back into routine, isn't it?
I don't think there's any boss anywhere, whether it's across the border, region, or anywhere in the world, that expects 110% work rate the first week back.
Yeah, it's just getting back into the swing, especially if you've had a few weeks off. Like 2 weeks, not so much. Three weeks, you're getting, but we had a fair few weeks. We had five. So
we did.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I found is that I've kind of forgotten how to sleep properly.
Yes, same.
Because when I don't have a 4:30 a.m. alarm, you know, I could go to midnight and wake up at 10 in the morning. All is good. All of a sudden, you go back to the get into bed by 8:30, get up at 4:30, set 3 alarms kind of thing. It's kind of throwing me for a bit of a loop this week.
Same. But you know what? We'll get back into the swing.
Yeah.
I think we're not alone. I notice the cars, there's actually sort of more and more cars on the road as this week went on. I think more people are going back to
work.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So if you're in the same boat, we feel for you and everything will be right as rain in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Today for our podcast, we are catching up with some of the regular special guests that we like to chat to each and every year as they made their first appearance for 2023.
Yeah, well, just a little bit of a reminisce through this week's catch up with our mates.
And we start with the man who's a little bit obsessed with The Bachelor. I never thought I'd hear Mulkey express any love for this particular show.
Wow, he's really into this new series.
He was texting you.
Yeah, I know, right? 3 bachelors in this new series. It's The Bachelors.
Yep.
And he is adamant. It's worth a look.
Have a listen. And it feels just like only last year we were chatting to this bloke, Lou. Mulkey, a very good morning to you.
It's like a warm hug hearing that intro, isn't it? Good morning, Alan.
It is.
We don't need anything warm on a day where it's going to be 35. It's fine.
Oof. I know. Well, sucks to be us.
Yeah, it does. And it would suck a little bit if you were playing sport, this kind of heat too. And it's all about the sport at the moment, isn't it? But we'll get into that in a sec. Can we just talk about the little punctuation mark between the sport, which is The Bachelors the moment? Now, I have not watched an iota of this TV show, but am I missing out, Mulkey?
Look, Al, Lou, you guys know that I am not prone to hyperbole, but this is the greatest show in the history of television of all time.
No! Better than The Love Boat.
Is it really? Is it seriously good? Like, really? Is it?
Mm. I think you mean the real Love Boat.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's all right. We'll get those things straight. Look, it's actually kind of amazing, Lou, because like we understand the premise of The Bachelor. Bloke, many women, they all want to date him. Drama ensues. Inevitably, he picks someone and he doesn't actually want to go out with them.
Yeah.
This season, we have not one, two, but we have 3 bachelors.
Blokes.
An Italian grandfather. Well, he's not, but Thomas is old. We've got
how Felix. Old is he?
Oh, he's probably only 41.
But hang on, that's old.
Like he's old. Yeah, right.
I'm 42.
We've got Felix, who's a former college basketball player in the States, Australian. He's a player and he knows it, but he's a complete jerk. And then there's Jed, who is this wonderful young kind of millennial drummer in a band that they're dressing up like a goth, and he's in touch with his feelings, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
So you've got 3 bachelors. You've got about 11,000 women in the Bachelor mansion. And it is drama-rama-rama right from the get-go. Last night, we had a lady walk out because she was just fed up with the bachelor that picked her to come into the house.
So the bachelors pick their favourite girls to be part of the thing. What if they pick the same girls?
Well, they didn't have that opportunity because each of the bachelors were given their own set of blind dates.
Oh, right.
And from that,
that's no fun. So much more fun if they were fighting over the same girls.
Once the girls are in the house, what we've seen is that the ladies have decided that even though, for example, Felix might have invited them in to come into the house,
they're changing
which bachelor they want to date.
Yes, okay. So it's the girls that are providing the drama, not the bachelors.
Oh, no, let me be fair here. Felix is providing a whole bunch of drama because he's just like, we get that it's about passing on trying to find your love, but Felix is doing it in front of everyone with a couple of different girls at different times. Like,
Mulkey, you're way too invested in this.
If you've just joined us, this is Batch Talk with Mulkey this morning.
Okay, now that you're so invested, I need to have a look. Let's quickly talk cricket, yes, because that's a pretty big deal at the moment, the broadcast rights for cricket.
Yeah, to look at Seven and Foxtel dug down the back of the couch and ripped out a lazy $1.5 billion.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. To lock up the cricket from season 24-25 for 7 years.
Wow.
So we're not going to be talking about broadcast rights for some time.
No.
Because it doesn't start for a whole year and then it runs for 7 years. Similarly, the NRL's about the same. The AFL's about the same. So it's huge business. The big ticket items really are that there will be less BBL games and Channel 7 will be able to stream on 7 Plus the games that they are broadcasting on their channels, because they haven't been able to do that, and that's been a real missing piece of their strategy.
Jeez. Mm.
Australian Open every January. A lot of people go to the Open from here because it's not too far to go, obviously.
Down the road.
But probably not as many people getting into it this year.
No, it seems not. But we thought, let's reach out and find out what the story is here. And to do that, James Lake from the Triple M Newsroom joins us. James, awesome to have you back on board for 2023. We understand there's a few less Aussies in the Oz Open as of last night, though.
Yeah, it hasn't been the best year for the Aussies at the Open, and neither for the ratings on Channel 9, and you know, the weather hasn't really helped either. So there's only 4 Australians left in the singles comp right now, and we're only going into day 4. So men still in action today. Alexei Popyrin is up against American Taylor Fritz this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Tonight, worth putting the tally on, though, Alex de Minaur is up against Frenchman Adrien Manarino. Sorry, I'm not a professional when it comes to pronouncing tennis.
I have no idea if you're right or wrong, so we're going to say, him.
Believe me.
Yeah.
And then later tonight, Tanasi Kokkinakis is up against Andy Murray. That is probably the biggest match of the day so far and the biggest match of any Aussie in the comp so far. So we'll see how they go. Tanasi's not too worried, though. He says that he and Andy are good friends.
Okay. But you can't be good friends when you're trying to smash someone on the court.
When that money's on the line.
No, forget the friendship. Bets are off.
It would be so awkward, right? You're like, hey, buddy, let's go for some beers after this, but first I'm going to knock you out of this competition that cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Look, it's not that awkward. It's a bit like a marriage. You know, like, I used to play tennis against my husband.
And you're still together.
Yeah, we are still together. And I always wanted to smash him. Admittedly, there weren't hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line.
Yes. This is why I don't do any competitive sports against my wife, because she is a sore loser.
Oh. Yeah, me too.
She always wins anyway, so... Yeah.
Fair enough.
Obviously, another big story at the moment, James, is all revolving Australian Open-wise around the ball boys and the fact that they don't get paid... they get bonuses, they get a little show bag, goodies and bits and pieces we heard this morning with Luke Biner. What's your thoughts on this? Should they get paid or not?
You know what? I don't think they should get paid, and that's going to sound
James.
Really harsh.
No, I'm with you 100%. I don't think they should either.
Yeah, first of all, like, one, it's a great experience as a kid to get involved in a huge event, get front and centre to, you know, meet some stars, and also to learn some work ethic, work hard, right? So many parts of our community thrive because of volunteering, and so many big events like the Australian Open, you look at the Comm Games, the Soccer World Cup, the Olympics, they're mostly run by volunteers, which really brings in the community spirit, the volunteers that welcome people from all around the world to our city, because it's essentially saying Melbourne is putting on this show, not people that have been hired and paid for by ticket holders.
Yeah.
It's Melbourne coming together as volunteers to host the world at the Australian Open.
Yeah.
He's kind of hard to argue against.
I 100% agree. I think as a kid, because they're all tennis tragics, those kids.
Yeah.
As a kid, it would be just mind-blowingly exciting. It'd be fantastic. But anyway.
Yeah, so fantastic. And guys, something else I'd love to share with you. I don't know if you've seen this awkward moment at a press conference last night. And We do know that it can be tricky at the Australian Open when there are so many people of different cultures, ethnic backgrounds, different names that can be hard to pronounce. But when it comes to Australians and identifying them at a press conference, right, you don't think that a journo should get that wrong?
No, agreed.
True.
But they did. So we know Tanasi Kokkinakis and Nick Kyrgios are really good mates.
Yeah.
Nick Kyrgios is out of the competition. Tanasi is still going. But one journo last night at the press conference thought that Tanasi was actually Nick Kyrgios.
Uh-oh.
Have a listen to this awkwardness.
Hi, Nick. Wow. Hi, Tanasi.
Wow. That's you done.
I'm about... You will understand why.
No, I'm going to can that.
Come on. If you're Tanasi Kokkinakis, yep. You have the right to be known for who you are, right?
That's agreed.
To get to this point, too.
By an Australian journo.
100%. Unbelievable. Yeah. Someone's getting sacked today.
Yep. It was a fun ride up until that point.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And just quickly before you go, James, Rafa Nadal out of the Open.
Oh, how devastating is
devastating.
That?
Devastating. I don't want to watch now.
Poor bloke injured. I was discussing this just with some mates this morning, the idea that he could have retired, but I think it was it's probably an element of, you know, really good sportsmanship that he did keep playing through the pain. So at least his opponent now has the bragging rights to say that he did beat Nadal.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Do you think that was the consideration, or do you think he just went, nah, I am not giving up?
Yeah, look, you know, you wouldn't want to give up, would you?
No, you wouldn't, but it sounds like he was in a considerable amount of pain. He has a hip injury, so, and it's been giving him trouble for quite a while. So, yeah, not good.
It is time to go. Rest that hip. You've made enough money. It's time for someone else to come
relax. Put your feet
That's
up.
That's it. Chill, Absolutely. Mate. Don't have to worry about any bills.
Nah, all sorted. James Lake, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Time to say a very good morning to Shane. Hey, good day, Shane.
Hey there. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be following on from John Bon Jovi. He's done a bit of acting himself, as well as music, of course.
He has indeed. Hey, speaking of actors that, you know, we know and love, Babylon is out at the moment, starring Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it drops in cinemas today. And it's also got people like Olivia Wilde, Phoebe Tonkin, another Australian actor, Flea from the big Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, an interesting cast here. You know what? I liked it a lot because it's about behind the scenes of Hollywood back in the day when it was silent films and they were crossing over into sound.
So,
how it all panned out. But a lot of indulgence, a lot of unhinged performances, great costumes. But be prepared. It's another one of those long movies. It goes for 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, my Lord.
So hang in there.
Oh, don't buy the big drink at the movies.
Is that the way movies seem to be going for you, Shane? Because, look, Avatar, the sequel, is over 3 hours as well.
And the new Steven Spielberg movie, The Fablemans, that's almost 3 hours long.
Do you know, I wouldn't mind.
I do believe there should be maybe a introduction of the old...
intermission.
Yes.
I know. If they had an intermission, it would be okay. Like, I actually think it'd be like, oh, yeah, great, intermission.
That would work.
It would work. And do you know what? I think cinema owners would love it too because it would make people go out and buy more stuff.
Stock up on more food.
So they'd go to the bathroom, they'd, on their way back, get some more popcorn, another drink.
Another Choc Top.
Bob's your uncle. So I actually think bring it on.
And when you think about it, you're watching Netflix or Amazon or whatever at home, you're often pausing the movie to go and get a drink. All the time when the kids want something.
Yeah,
totally. I bring back the intermission, I say.
From Babylon to Operation Fortune we go. Now, I'm keen on this one because Guy Ritchie's involved and he always has really complex, fun movies.
Exactly, Al. He had a big hit a couple of years ago with A Gentleman. And I also always talk about his first film, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Great movie.
Yeah, great film. Holds up. Love it. Always recommend it. This one is very similar. Another British crime caper comedy. This one is about a Hollywood actor who gets employed by this shady government agency to go undercover and try and infiltrate a criminal syndicate over in some exotic locations over in Europe. So, yeah, a lot of fun. You got Jason Statham, Aubrey Plaza is in it, Hugh Grant. Yeah, highly recommended. I really enjoyed it.
Sounds like Tropic Thunder. whole we're making a movie but not a movie thing? Like, weird.
Not really. They employ this actor who's not very well known, but he manages to pretend to be someone else. So, Tropic Thunder, I hear the link that you're trying to make, but it's wrong.
But it's wrong. Okay. So shut up, Louise. Okay, no worries. Thanks. Shane A, awesome. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you again next week. Can't wait to get to the movies.
Great to hear your voices again, you too, and Happy New Year.